Please stand in body or in spirit. Stare into the mirror of God's law. Your sins will be revealed.
We are guilty. We deserve condemnation.
Repent. Pray for mercy. Oh, I got more words. Return to the Lord with all your heart.
We will repent of our hearts.
And we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And now let us confess our sins in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are counted to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen. and also with you.
Covenant, in the mystery of the cross, you promise everlasting life to the world. Gather all peoples into your arms and shelter us with your mercy, that we may rejoice in the life we share in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
First reading this morning is from Genesis, the 15th chapter. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look toward the heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He said to him, Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. He brought him all these and cut them in two, laying each half over and against the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a deep and terrifying darkness descended upon him. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, To your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the great Euphrates. This is the word of the Lord. Please read Psalm 72 responsively with me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall.
Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident.
One thing I ask of the Lord, that I will seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple.
For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock.
Now my head is I will sing and make a melody to the Lord,
Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me.
Come, my heart says, see his face. Your face, Lord, do I see.
Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You who have been my help, do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation.
If my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up.
Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies.
Do not give up to those of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me. They are bringing up violence.
I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord.
The second reading is from Philippians, the third and fourth chapter. Chapter 3, brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you, even with tears. Their end is destruction, their God is the belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation that it may be conformed to the body of his glory by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Chapter 4. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in his ways. My beloved, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
At that very hour, some Pharisees said to Jesus, they came to him and said, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." Jesus said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me, 'Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me till the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, Christ.
You may be seated. So, are you timing my sermon? Are you looking at my... It's 10:15 if you want to get a start.
All right, a little pre-sermon teaching.
Because why not? The sermon's short today, don't worry about it. So, that first reading is really weird, isn't it? You slaughter animals and then God, whatever. This is literally cutting a covenant. What it means is, right, you take these animals, you cut them in half, except for the birds for whatever reason. We were nice to the birds. You cut these animals in half, right, and the Lord descends upon them. And when you cut a covenant, what you are saying is, whatever, see these animals here, how they're cut in half? If one of us breaks this covenant, be done to us, be done to the person who breaks it, as is these animals. So, it works out fine for Abram because God ends up taking that punishment on himself through, well, we'll hear today. I'm not preaching on that. We're preaching on the thing, but we know what happened to Jesus. Anyway, The Good Shepherd, that's one. Bread of life, Lamb of God, vine, door, gate, light, living water, the way, the truth, and the life. We heard it in our gathering hymn, solid rock, there's cornerstone. If I asked you to pick a metaphor for Jesus, pick one that resonates most with you, which one tells you who Jesus is and what he has done for you and for us, you'd probably pick one of those. You would probably pick one of those. These are the metaphors for Jesus that we like to write hymns about. These are the ones that we turn into art, right? But today there's a pretty unique one, isn't there? Jesus as chicken, right? See? Exactly. Jesus is chicken. Be honest. Anyone here ever think about Jesus as chicken? Have you ever seen one of those church banners with Jesus' chicken on it? No, right? More precisely, Jesus is shown as a brooding hen protecting her chicks. But I have to say, maybe now is the time that we start to embrace this image. Because never, and I mean never, well, maybe, I don't know, but not in my lifetime has a hen been more valuable, right? What is it? What is it, like $10, $15, $20 a dozen of eggs now? $50, $60? I don't know. When we come upon this chicken Jesus, he is well beyond this wilderness encounter with the devil that he had last week. Lent's weird. It jumps all around and through the Gospels. But this is way past that now. He's now well into his ministry. And this is after Jesus has matter-of-factly informed his disciples, hey, the Son of Man I'm going to be betrayed into human hands. And we know now that Jesus has set his face on Jerusalem. And it is this determination, it's a determination now that Jesus to go to Jerusalem that motivates this stark warning from the Pharisees of all people. They say, Jesus, Herod plans to kill you. And he's like, I don't care. Tell that fox Herod that I'm a chicken. See, Jesus embraces it. That's not exactly what he said. I should probably keep going. The warning about Herod, though, this warning does not cause Jesus to change his mind. He is set on going to Jerusalem. He isn't going to turn around. He isn't going to return to the relative safety that is the chicken coop of Galilee, because he has a brood of chicks to protect, right? And this can only be done in Jerusalem, according to Jesus. But not only is he not returning to the chicken coop, Jesus is walking directly in to the fox's den. And that's just stupid, right? Has anyone here ever seen the aftermath of a fight between a hen and a fox? Anyone? You have, yeah? Pretty great, huh? Maybe gruesome? I don't know. I've not seen it. I'm guessing. I could have Googled it. I didn't. I was afraid to Google it. But probably lots of blood, feathers everywhere, mangled carcass. That's assuming you can actually find a carcass. Jesus knows this, though. He knows how a fight between a fox like Herod usually ends for the chicken. So, crucifixions, right? Crucifixions, this wasn't just something, the cross, it wasn't just something that was invented for this renegade prophet Jesus. No, this is a form of tortuous death that had been around for a bit. It was common in the Roman Empire and beyond the Roman Empire. It was common in Jesus' time in cities like Jerusalem. Sometimes, just to make sure that the message to any would-be rabble-rousers was clear,
You know what they did to the corpses that were on the crosses? That were on the crosses? They left them there. That's right. They left them on the crosses alongside the roads, on the hills leading to, you know, along the roads leading to the cities, on the hills in the cities. Why? That sounds bad. Anyway, why is this? Because this is, if you were Rome and you needed to maintain peace, this is how you maintained peace. The so-called Pax Romana, the Roman peace. You did it with a sword. You did it with the cross. You did it with threats and intimidation by making examples of people and then leaving them hanging on a cross. The author of Luke tells us this. When Jesus was 12 years old, Jesus and his family went to Jerusalem as usual for the Passover. So we know that Jesus would have taken many trips to Jerusalem. And he would most certainly have seen in those trips bloodied and mangled carcasses that the Roman authorities and their co-conspirators like Herod would have put on display in order to maintain their power and a tenuous, self-serving, so-called Roman peace. And still, Jesus is set on going to Jerusalem. He says, tell Herod I don't care about his threats. I'm going to Jerusalem anyway. But then strangely, he says, I am not going to Jerusalem as a fox, though. That's not how I'm going to show up there. I'm not going to be a predator when I get there. I will not establish peace, my peace, the peace of Jesus Christ. It will be not be said in the way that the Romans do. Not in the way of the sword, not in the way of Herod, not in the way of this world, as if the world's ways of doing peace ever last. No, it will come in the form of me. It will come in the form of a chicken. This is how I, Jesus, will establish my peace. Go tell someone that, by the way, today. Jesus came in the form of a chicken, and that's how he won peace. You probably shouldn't just leave it there, though. When the fox shows up, why does the mother hen gather the chicks under her wings? Why? To protect them. What? So they don't get eaten, right? Because if the fox breaks into the hen house, right, and there's a bunch of little chicks running around, that's the first thing the fox is going to do. Why? Because they're running around. They're easy to get. It's going to snatch them up. They're like little popcorn chicken, right? They're little appetizers. They're little appetizers before the main course. And the main course is, of course, the hen, right? But when the hen gathers her chicks under her wings, she's saying this. If you want them, you will have to come through me first. Now, is that a stupid move by the hen? Yeah. It's not, yeah, kind of. It's not going to end well for the chicken. It's not, you know, bloody corpse and all. But the hope of the mother hen, the hope of the mother hen is that in laying down her life for her chicks, that her mothering instincts have given them time to scatter while she's the focus of the fox's attention. And it is through this act of sacrificial love that she saved them. In calling himself a chicken, Jesus is foreshadowing what will most certainly happen in Jerusalem. We know that Jesus' disciples, as he was being crucified, many of them scattered. But they did live to tell the story. Jesus in Jerusalem will be slaughtered, but in doing so, he will deliver his brood from the fox, from Herod, from the Romans, from the powers that rule over the world. And being set free then from the ways of the world, from the rulers of the world, we as his followers, we can come to know a different peace. Not the Roman peace, not the Pax Romana, but the Pax Christi. It's the peace of Christ. Anyone here feel comfortable just resting in the peace of Christ recently? It's hard to do, isn't it? It's hard to simply rest in the peace of Christ when we are oh so very much a part of this world with all of its troubles and all of our troubles. We still live in a world of dangerous foxes. And in a world full of dangerous foxes, it is very, very dangerous to be a baby chick. I mean, we've established popcorn chicken is really tasty and it's easy to come by, especially if you have what's your favorite dipping sauce? Sweet and sour, honey mustard, I don't know, ranch? Yeah. Everyone loves popcorn chicken. So it can be difficult, impossible even, to rest in Christ's peace when everyone is trying to turn us into popcorn chicken. And unless you bury your head in the sand, which I don't endorse, actually. I don't think we should just always bury our head in the sand. We're constantly inundated. We are being assaulted and assailed with messages. Messages that tell us that maybe we ought to become foxes ourselves. Maybe if we're not going to do that, we should align ourselves with foxes, right? Our human nature tells us, self-preservation tells us, that you don't send a chicken to a fox fight. It's stupid. The chicken dies. You send a fox, have a fair fight, destroy your enemies. But here's the thing with Jesus. He knew something. He knew something that those who were warning him away from Jerusalem didn't know. He knew something that the disciples didn't know. He knew something that the Romans didn't know. Something that Herod didn't know. He knew that Rome at some point would cease to exist. Not the city. The city, I guess, is still there. But the Roman society would cease to exist. The Pax Romana, this Roman peace, would end, as all other worldly pieces will end. Any peace that is held with a sword will always end, because there will always end up being someone who shows up that is more powerful. Which is why Jesus knew that he could not show up as a fox to a fox fight. He would lose that fight too. It is just more of the same. More of this world's ways. And Jesus is not of this world. Jesus is like no other. And his peace was to be. His peace is an eternal peace. And we Christians, we know this. But we live in this world. So we struggle to understand and grasp the implications of what Jesus has done. In refusing to take Herod and the Roman authorities on, as the world would have him do, Jesus brought something entirely new and something entirely otherworldly into being. Not a worldly peace, because worldly peace always has an expiration date. There will always be a next war. You remember the war to end all wars? That was World War I. It has a number. Why? Because there was one after that. That was called World War II. There will always be an expiration date on worldly peace. But the Pax Christi, the peace of Christ, there is no expiration date on that. Jesus won not with the power of the sword or with vengeance, but with something entirely different, with sacrificial love. And he ushered in this new and present age. But it's a very messy age. And it's where we currently live. And that's That's the rub. It's not Jesus' fault that this is messy. It's not. What he did was inaugurate something new. We're the ones that keep messing it up. How do we go about living here in this time and place as we wait for Jesus to return and bring this creation into full restoration? First, we must recognize that there is nothing we can do to accelerate Christ's return. We can't make Jesus come back faster. So we wait in hopeful expectation of Christ's return. Second, we must accept that we ourselves cannot fully restore God's creation. Now, this doesn't mean that we shouldn't work to bring God's preferred future forward into the here and the now, into this present age. But we must remember that God invites us into this work. We don't just bring God along for the ride and whatever it is that we want to do. No, God is the driver. God invites us into this work. And we must take care to prayerfully discern God's call on us, because after all, God prevailed not by sending a fox to a fox fight, but a chicken. That's crazy. It doesn't make sense, because God's ways don't always make sense. God's ways of restoration and reconciliation are not our ways, which is why we need to prayerfully discern God's ways. Number three, witness. This is what we do. We go and we witness to the good news of Jesus Christ. And by that, it sounds so scary, right? But all it is telling the story. Tell this story. This one today. Tell this story. Go tell someone today the crazy story of a hen giving himself over to a fox to die, and in doing so, saving the entire world. Tell someone that. Let me know how that works. You have to tell them the rest, but tell them that story. I'm serious. It is a really good story. Okay, you're not going to do that, which is fine. I mean, it's not, but what am I going to do? I can't make you. Fourth, because I know you won't do the third, and because I don't like three-point sermons, just rest. Rest. Simply rest in and know the freely given, never-ending, otherworldly peace of Christ. It is a peace which surpasses all understanding. It is a peace that was won for us by a chicken. Isn't that crazy? It was won for us by a good shepherd, by the bread of life, by the Lamb of God, by the vine, the door, the gate, the light, the living water. It was won for us by the way, the truth, and the life, by the cornerstone, by the solid rock on which we stand. It is a peace won by this mother hen of our salvation, by Jesus Christ, who we know as our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Please join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary.
And Jeff.
Peggy.
Rex.
Rex.
Let us pray. Led by the Spirit, let us turn to God in prayer for the church, the world, and all in need.
Holy God, you long to gather your church under your wings. Bless this church, First Lutheran, the churches of Jerusalem, those scattered about the Holy Land, especially in Gaza, and all churches and Christians that know persecution, that your people may take heart and stand firm as they witness and minister in your name. God, in your mercy,
receive our prayer. Holy God, you are the stronghold of our life. Care tenderly for those who are ill in body or mind, and for people living in fear or need, especially Margaret, Ashley, Jean, Kevin, David, Barb, Jennifer, Beth, Nancy, Krista, Diane, Dave, AJ, Fred, Caden and his family, Linda, Joe, Haley, Paige, Sandy, Scott, Ed, Tina, Ken, Bobby, Nancy, Jim, for Jeff, Judy, Peggy, and Rex, and for those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. May they be kept safe under God's wing. God, in your mercy.
Holy God, you offer us citizenship in heaven. Unite those who gather to worship at First Lutheran Church and communities of faith within Galleon and Crawford County. Where we are divided over earthly things, may we be reconciled in and through Jesus, so that we may serve one another, our neighbors, and all of your creation with generosity and love. God, in your mercy,
receive our prayers. Receive the prayers of your people and draw all things together in your love. In the name of Jesus, who leads us from death to life. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. Peace, Brian. With our gifts and our offerings.
Let us pray. Gracious Provider, you set your immense treasures among us, opening your heart to the world. As we prepare to feast on your bountiful love, deepen our commitment to sharing those treasures with others. Through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We give thanks to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. Again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Like a hen who gathers her chicks under her wings, Jesus gathers us to this table. So come, eat, drink, and experience God's salvation.
Thank you. Christ shed for you.
This is the body of Christ broken for you.
Blood of Christ shed for you.
This is the body of Christ broken.
Blood of Christ shed for you.
This is the body of Christ shed for you.
Blood of Christ shed for you.
This is the body of Christ broken for you.
Blood of Christ shed for you.
This is the body of Christ.
Blood of Christ shed for you.
And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. Generous host, you have shared your feast with us and made us new. Send us now to set tables of love and grace in our communities, that your liberating love might nourish the world into freedom. In the name of the crucified one, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. You almost got a blessing early. I was confused. Imagine that. That's right. Okay, a few announcements. We continue our Lenten services. 6 o'clock is a fellowship meal, and then the service is at 7 p.m. So a men's fellowship breakfast this Friday at 9 a.m. at Lulu's in Bucyrus. Let's see. And then on Saturday, more breakfast here. It's our community breakfast at 9 a.m. You are all invited for that. We're about 2 weeks out, so we're going to be worshiping with St. Paul at St. Paul on March 30th, Sunday, March 30th at 10 a.m. in North Robinson, so please plan to celebrate there on that Sunday. Catechism today. Wait, you're like, what do you look like that? You're like, is it? It's every other Sunday. Anyway, catechism today. But you are done at 12:45 because I got to be somewhere. So a little early. We got to leave a little early today. We got a Pinewood Derby to race. So ends at 12:45 today. Any other announcements this morning? Seeing and hearing none, please stand for a blessing. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen.
Afraid, I am your shield.
Jesus said to his children,
how long to gather you under my wing?
The hen will die